Someone once asked the Kutzker Rebbe, the Rambam says that all midos can be used in a good way or a bad way. That all midos, even bad midos, so to speak, can be employed in a positive way. So the Kutzker Rebbe was asked, is there a room for apikorsis? Now again, apikorsis is technically not a mida, but he says, is it ever good to be an apikoros? So the Kutzker Rebbe said, yeah. A poor person comes to you, he asks for tzedakah. So your answer shouldn't be, Hashem will take care of you. You have to be, at that moment, not really, but figuratively speaking, you have to be a shtickel apikoros in the sense that you have to look at yourself as the person who can help the ani, and you don't use emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an excuse not to do what you need to do. Avad, it's not apikorsis, but the idea is that you never say, oh, Hashem will take care of you, don't bother me. By the same token that apikorsis has a positive function in that way, it's equally true that golus has a positive function. That's why is there golus? What is golus? Golus is bad. Golus is chorban. Golus is desolation. Golus is distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can any of that be good? And the short answer, bekitzer, is that golus creates an awareness of yearning, a sense of distance. And when we know we are distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is in our heart a strong, strong passion to be united. There's an expression in English, absence makes the heart grow fonder. A person can take anything for granted. The Beis HaMikdash could be taken for granted. Nisim v'niflais, the Dor HaMidbar, had Nisim every single day, many times a day. The truth is, we also have Nisim. We say in Shemona Esrei, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yaimim Anu, life is a miracle, breathing is a miracle. We take it for granted. Golos takes many things away from us. And by taking many things away from us, we have the pain of feeling richuk. And precisely in the pain of feeling richuk, that creates the kirov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the meaning of the Chazal, that Moshiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Mefarshim tell us it doesn't necessarily mean a birthday, the particular person who will be Zaycha to see the Melech HaMashiach. He can have a birthday any day of the year. But it means out of the tears, out of the crying, out of the sense of distance, out of the yearning and the passion and the hargasha to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this will be the thing that gives birth to Mashiach. Mashiach will be born from the yearning within Klal Yisrael for Geula, and that is why it is so important that after 120 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us a bunch of questions, and in his rachamim, he gave us the actual questions so we can study for them ahead of time. And one of the questions is Sipisa LeYeshua. Sipisa LeYeshua does not mean did you believe in Mashiach? A person could believe in Mashiach. Sipisa LeYeshua, did a person eagerly wait? Did we yearn? Did we feel there was something lacking in our lives? That's a very hard thing in many ways. In many ways, Golus creates a vicious circle. Because the tachlis of Golus is to be margish the richuk, and being margish the richuk, that brings us closer to geula. But the problem is, the longer we stay in golus, the less we know what it is we don't have. A person who experienced the korban could indeed not go on. The Gemara in Cheskes Abatim tells us that there were people after the korban, and they said, we can no longer eat meat, because there are no korbanos. The Chachamim said, well, you should no longer eat bread. There's no longer menachas. Don't drink water. There's no nisach hamayim. So you have to go on. You have to live. But for them, there was no issue about making a siyum during the 9 days so we could eat fleishiks. They couldn't eat meat. They had no desire. They were margish what was lost, what was taken away. The world was changed. The world was destroyed. All pleasure in life, as Eicha says, Shavas Mesos Libeinu, the joy of our heart just stopped. But the person who was born blind doesn't know color. The person who was born deaf can't understand music. In many, many ways, with the Hemshech of Golus, the very purpose of Golus gets defeated. because galus is designed to create yearning, and yet the longer we go, the more we're used to it. The more we're used to it, the less the yearning, because we don't even know. In some ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us experiences. The loss of G'dayle Torah. We recently had the yahrzeit of Morena Rav Yoshev, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, where Chazal say, the Mises Sadikim is Shekula Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. So in some sense, we can feel a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in that way. But in many ways, one of our difficulties in Avodah is to be Mekayim, the idea of Tzipisa LeYeshua. Indeed, somebody went to the Sfas Emes, this was over 100 years ago, and asked the Sfas Emes, what do I do if I can't cry over the Beis HaMikdash? And the Sfas Emes says, cry over a neshama that can no longer cry over the Beis HaMikdash, because that is the deepest form of Chorban, that one cannot even be misabel over the Beis HaMikdash. Again, it's reminiscent of a very famous story around the Six-Day War, when the army was able to recapture the Harabayas and people could daven at the Kaisel. So there were soldiers who were religious soldiers, and they were crying, they were shedding tears at the Kaisel, and then there was a Chiloni, a person who was not had no connection to Torah. And he was also crying at the Kaisel. And when one of his friends mockingly said to him, why are you crying? What's the purpose? He said, I'm crying because I don't know what I should be crying about. Very profound comment, a very emes comment. And it's something that we should think about ourselves and our own Aveda of Tzipisa LeYeshua. There's a beautiful word from the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer tells us, all of us know the famous Chazal, Kolam Isabel al Yerushalayim. When a person mourns over Yerushalayim, Zaycha v'raya b'simchasa, which we normally translate, although you'll see in a moment that that's not correct, he will merit to see the joy and the geula of Eretz of Yerushalayim. But the Chassam Sefer points out that if you translate the sentence literally, it is not b'lashon osid, it is not written as the future. It doesn't say, kol misabel yiske v'yire. It doesn't say that. Kol misabel al Yerushalayim zoche v'roa. He merits and he experiences. In other words, Chazal are saying, in the very process of mourning, you experience geula. How is that? I'm mourning. Fakert, I'm mourning because I don't have a mikdash. I don't have Ashras Ashrina. So the Chassam Sefer says, you find by Yosef that when Yosef was sold, and the brothers went to Yaakov, and they told Yaakov that an animal had torn Yosef apart, and this is his ksinus, this is his coat dipped in the blood. So the Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu could not be comforted. And Rashi brings the Medrash that says, Ein mekablin tanchumin alachai. Hashem put into the world that if Rachman al-Islam, somebody dies, eventually with the passage of time we get comforted, we get strengthened, we go on. That's what Hashem put into the world, because otherwise a person couldn't live. But if somebody's alive, even if you might think that he's dead, but the teva is you're not going to have that nechama. Now why didn't Yaakov figure it out is another question. We don't talk about it on Tisha B'Av. But the pshat is, if something's dead, there's nechama. But when there's a chai, there's no nechama. So here we have the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It's almost 2,000 years ago, year 70. And we still mourn, we still cry, we're still tzibrachin, or we should be tzibrachin. But l'chaira, if Geula is dead, if what happened happened and there's never going to be a future, then we should also have comfort. Zakhti Chassam Sefer, the very fact that a Yid is not comforted over the Chorban Beis HaMikdash says that the Beis HaMikdash is still alive. Geula is alive. And therefore it's Ein Mekablin Tanchumin Alachai, because if Geula would be a dead thing, if the Mikdash is dead, if it's not coming back, then indeed that would be Nichlal in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gezeirah, that a person is Mekabel Tanchumin. And therefore the Chassam Sefer says, the deeper a person grieves, paradoxically, the greater sense of assurance he has in the Geula, because it's a reality to him. person doesn't grieve, maybe Taka the Gula is dead to him. It's dead. So Mimela, he goes on. Hashem put into the Teva. Once something is dead, you work, you know, you go on with your life. This is what the Chassam Sefer says. We've had occasion over the 3 weeks, really, to talk about this in a lot of different ways. I don't want to repeat everything we talked about, but Bekitzer, all of us know that in the Aveda of Tzipisa LeYeshua, in the Aveda of being Mesabel over the Churban, we have our own Chiyuv to rebuild a Beis HaMikdash. We must build a Beis HaMikdash. Not by bombing the Harabayas, not by clearing the Harabayas. That's for Hashem to do, that's for Mashiach to do. The Rambam says Mashiach builds the Bayis HaShlishi. Rashi says the Bayis HaShlishi is Yored Min HaShamayim. That's not our job. But our job is to make our heart and our soul a Mishkan for Hashem. To make V'Shachanti B'Seichem, that the Eibishter lives in our heart and our soul. And then, when our heart and our soul becomes a makam for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we get the Beis HaMikdash Memela. Because the Churban Beis HaMikdash was an outgrowth of the fact that the Shekhinah was no longer within the heart of Klal Yisrael. And that's why when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Bayis, and the Medrash tells us that Nebuchadnezzar was so proud of the fact that he conquered the house of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, communicated to him, "You didn't destroy my house. I don't live there anymore. I already left." When there was no V'shachanti B'Seichem, the Beis HaMikdash is a bunch of wood and stone, a magnificently beautiful building to be sure, but it's just a building. And even a Nebuchadnezzar can destroy it. It's not the house of Hashem if Hashem is not in our hearts. So we have to make ourselves V'shachanti B'Seichem. And that is why Tisha B'Av is indeed a day of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Although it's a day of Avelus, it's not technically a day of Shuva, it's a day of Avelus. But the Avelus is designed to make us try to be Mesakein in whatever way we can. The Averus that caused the Churban, the Sinas Chinam, the hatred, the dissension, the polarization, the Machlokas that caused the Churban by Yesheni. Lo Bircha B'Toyra Techila, the lack of chashivas for Torah learning, that was also a contributing avera back to the Bayis Rishain. Again, without being marich in those pratim, it's not the main thing I want to focus on. Even the Avoda Zara, Gili Arayas, and Shvichas Damim of the Bayis Rishain. Now you might say, well, gee, we're not guilty of Avoda Zara, Gili Shvichas Damim. But Rav Tzadok says, Avoda Zara, Gili Arayas, Shvichas Damim are really nothing more than the extreme manifestations of character flaws, which even if I don't have the extreme manifestation, I may still have the shayrish of it. And Rav Tzadok says the shayrish of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rai, Shvichas Damim is none other than kina, taiva, kavod, jealousy. That could culminate in murder. Many, many murders are because people are jealous of this and that. Even over trivial things, Rachmana Litzlan, a pair of shoes or whatever. Gili Arayas, of course, is the culmination of taiva, too much of an attachment to the hedonistic, sensual pleasures of the world. Kavod and Avodah Zarah is a much more subtle idea, but Rav Tzadok says, people create Avodah Zarah because they want a religion that will bend to how they want to live their lives. It's like the person who shoots an arrow and then draws a bullseye around the arrow, and that way he always hits dead center. A person wants a religion that gives him the freedom to live his life in any way he wants, so he constructs an idol, constructs a god that is really no better than himself. The gods of Greece and Rome, Jupiter, Zeus, whatever they were not tzaddikim, they were not paragons of virtue. They were as degenerate and corrupt, if not more so. I mean, even according to the, they were made up characters, obviously, but they were made up to be as degenerate and as corrupt as even the pechusim in society. Now, what type of religion does that mean? It's a religion with no restrictions, and therefore, essentially, honoring the Avodah Zarah is a way of honoring yourself, to make yourself the center of the universe. So Rav Tzaddok says, it may very well be that we're not technically guilty of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvicha Stamim in terms of the extreme manifestation, although I have to say, we certainly live in a world where there's much Gilei Arayas and Shvicha Stamim, even in a literal sense. But certainly, kina, taiva, kavod, making anything in our life the center of the meaning of our existence, other than Hashem, other than Avodas Hashem, is Avodah Zarah. Could be money, power, politics, science, intellectual discovery. All of that can be Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Gra says, when Ezra and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah took away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, it was replaced by the Yetzer Hara for money. So if we want to know what it used to feel like to want to bow down to an idol, we should look at what people do for money and everything else. So, obviously, if we build a Beis HaMikdash, we have to be misak in all of these inyanim. And again, I mentioned the other week, Rebbe Yoshev Zatzal, that one of the things he taught very often in the last few years was that the central Avodah of our time for B'nai Torah is to make the name of Hashem beloved in the eyes of others. That people should look at a Jew that keeps mitzvos and they should say, Kama noyim masav, how pleasant are his ways. Kama mesukin derachav, how proper are the pathways that he's going and his deeds. And if we make the Shem Shemayim misahev, we bridge the sinas chinam, we cure it, we alleviate it. That we relate to others b'sever panim yafos, with derech eretz, with menschlichkeit, with kindness, with consideration. Sometimes a person's reaction is, whenever there's a machlokes, you know, why doesn't the other side make the first move, whoever the other side is? Why does it always have to be me? I understand. From a human perspective, that bothers us sometimes. But the long and the short of it is, the only person I have any shlita over is myself. I can't control what other people do. I cannot dictate how other people respond. But I, all of us, have a chiyuv to make the name of Hashem beloved in the eyes of others. So if there is misunderstandings from whatever corner it emanates, and no matter who is at fault, we have the achrayas to try to bridge the gap, to bring healing, to bring refuah, to bring avas Yisrael. And then we have the haftacha of Shlomo HaMelech in the book of Mishlei. Kamayim haponim el ponim kem lev ha'adam li'adam. As water reflects the face that you show it, so too the heart of one person mirrors back what is shown to it. And the Gra explains, again, this is Pashat Pshat, when you smile at a body of water, you get back a smiling face. When you frown at a body of water, you get back a frowning face. What you will get back from another person is what you give to that other person. You give to that other person kavod, respect, derech eretz, care. Then that person will feel that way about you as well. You do the other thing, you'll get the other thing. It's not the day, maybe it is the day, but I'm not going to talk about it in particular, about all the different stresses and strains and tensions that exist, particularly in Eretz Yisrael. Religious, secular, different groups within Klal Yisrael. Differences that are not just general machlokas, but that can actually turn into dinei nefashas. Whether it's drafting of B'nai Torah, which by the way is not just a chisaron for B'nai Torah, but it can literally endanger the security of Eretz Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom. So we're dealing with major, major issues. And we have tainas and arguments and accusations and counter-accusations. But on this day of Sinas, a day which is a in which we commemorate, we remember, particularly the Averis of Sinas Chinam, we have to ask ourselves, what can we do to treat all Yidden with derech eretz and respect. And then in the hope and in the expectation that the Chacham Mikol Adam's words will be Mekoyim, that if we can show appreciation for the sacrifices and the work of others, whether they be Chayolim or whatever, then they too will come to be Machshiv, the importance of Limud HaTorah and Avodas Hashem in Klal Yisrael. Just something to think about. We want to build a Beis HaMikdash. We need to start by making our heart and soul a makam for Hashras HaShchina, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the Tikkun of Sinas Chinam. And the Talmud Yerushalmi says, Kol Dor Shelo Nivne B'Yamav, any door in which the Mikdash is not rebuilt, is guilty of the same Averos that caused the Chorban. So it's not the Pshat, 2,000 years ago there was Sinas Chinam, but Baruch Hashem, now we're okay, but we don't have a schus of having the Mikdash. No. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed every day that it's not built. It is Ke'ilu, it is destroyed again and again and again and again. If we don't have the Mikdash, we are Machriv the Mikdash. And if Chazal say the Mikdash Sheni was Nechrav because of Sinas Chinam, that means it's still being Nechrav because of Sinas Chinam. But the Emma says, I don't need to prove it from a Yerushalmi. You could bring, you can bring Rayas directly from what you see. Something for us to think about, again, an Avaida, a difficult Avaida, but one that we must engage in. But I wanted to focus on another aspect of it. That is, it's already after Chatzais. And we know that after Chatzais, although we are still B'Avelus, and indeed even after Tisha B'Av, we're B'Avelus, the 10th of Av, but and certainly every single day. The first siman of the Shulchan Aruch says, a Yerei Hashem should be Dayegu Meitzer al Churban. We think about the Churban all the time. In fact, I had mentioned the Kinos, if you permit me to repeat, some of you may not have heard it, that Eli Tzion V'Areha, the last Kina, or the next to the last kina, is the only one of the kinos that we recite standing up. We also have a nigun, we stand up. And the explanation that's given is that normally, although we ended early, normally one says kinos until chatzais. And since after chatzais, one is allowed to get up from sitting on a low seat, we get up, and that's reminiscent of the idea of getting up from Shiva, of going on with life. So on one hand, the message of getting up is Hashem does not want us to be in a perpetual state of being broken. Hashem wants us to go on and rebuild and be creative in our lives. But when we get up and we rejoin life, we don't simply say, oh, I've mourned over the temple, now my life goes on. You take the kina with you. Don't allow grief to immobilize you. But don't allow the normalization of your life to take you away from the grief. You must take the kina with you. And this is really the message that I want to share with you, that we find that even in the middle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's prophecies or experiences of Churban and destruction, he builds into the very nevuah of Churban and destruction comfort and assurance of Geula. That within the Makkah, or within the Nevuah of the Makkah, there is direct Ramazim to the Geula, or the way to extricate ourselves from the Makkah. And I want to just give you three examples of this. The first is with Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu runs away from Esav, and Yaakov is very affrighted. And Yaakov has a dream. And the Pasuk says, Vayifka b'makayim, vayolen sham kivo ha-shemesh. So Chazal say the sun set earlier. It set much earlier than it normally did, plunging Yaakov into total darkness. And that is when Yaakov Avinu was mispalel Ma'ariv, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a glorious vision. But the Chazal say that the sudden darkness is a remes to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that there will be destruction, there will be galus, there will be darkness. And indeed, even the idea that that the sun set earlier than normal is also a remes to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash 2 years earlier than it should have been destroyed. We read in this morning's Parsha, in V'yeschanan, Ki Seilid Banim Uvnei Banim, when you have children, grandchildren, V'nayshantim B'yaretz, and you have dwelt in the land for a long time, and then you do Avodah Zarah, Hashem says, I will destroy you. V'nayshantim is B'gematria 852 years. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 850 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says, again it's a Medrash, Hikdim Shtei Shanim. The Eibishter brought the Chorban 2 years earlier than the Minyan V'nayshantem, because had we been V'nayshantem, the Pasuk says, I would utterly destroy you. And Hashem didn't want us to be utterly destroyed. So he was makdim the Chorban earlier. This is a remarkable statement. So you could have Yidden that see the devastation of the Chorban, and they see that it's brought earlier than it should have been brought. And from our perspective, we see destruction, we see death, we see gullus, we see famine. All we see is the evil, all we see is the onesh. And yet, precisely in that onesh was the wherewithal for a geula. Because had HaKadosh Baruch Hu been more erech apayim, so to speak, had he given us another 2 years, there would have been that critical red line, red zone of v'nayshantem, which would have been the point of no return. So you see that in the very remez of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and that's the remez of the sun setting early, hikdim shtei shanim l'v'nayshantem, in the very remez of the Chorban, Hashem is saying, I am giving you the means to come back to me. I am giving you the means for your rejuvenation. In fact, we see this in another aspect of this same Maisa. I had mentioned the Gemara in Brachos that Yaakov Avinu at this juncture was Mesaken Tfilas Ma'ariv. Right? Yaakov davened to Hashem in his own words. There was no Shemon Esrei yet, but in his own words, Yaakov Avinu was Mispalel to Hashem. Avraham was Mesaken Shachris, and Yitzchak was Mesaken Mincha, and Yaakov was Mesaken Ma'ariv. And the Mefarshim ask a kasha. The kasha is, we have a machlekes in the Gemara, if tfilas arvis is a rishus, is it an optional prayer, or is tfilas arvis a chayva? We actually paskin, meikir hadin, tfilas arvis is a rishus, it's an optional prayer, it's now become a binding min. Of course, kriyashma fishtetzach is deraisa, but the tfila is a rishus, but it's only a chayva mitam mina. So Frecht Rav Tzadok, the obvious kasha, why should Yaakov Avinu's tefillah be inferior to the prayer of Avram and Yitzchak? Avram's prayer of Shachris is a chiyuv, and Yitzchak's prayer of Mincha is a chiyuv. Yaakov Avinu, whose face is chakuk on the Kisei HaKavod, and the Kinos had several references to that, why should Yaakov Avinu's tefillah be a rishus? It's less important. And Rav Tzadok says, beautiful thoughts which can help us in our tefillahs. And he says each tefillah which is recited at a different time of day is designed to elicit a different hergish, a different type of emotion. Same words maybe, a different feeling. Morning is the time of Hakaras HaTov. It's a new day, there's hope, people feel better in the morning. And therefore the Yesod of Shachris is Hakaras HaTov, gratitude for the Chastei Hashem. And this tefillah belongs to Avraham Avinu, because although Avraham Avinu went through 10 Nisyanis, but after he passed the Nisyanis, he saw Hashem's brachos in his lifetime. Avraham Avinu was zeicha to remain in Eretz Yisrael. He was zeicha to be a Nesi Elokim, to be respected. He was zeicha to be makarei, according to the Medrash, tens of thousands of Canaanites. Not to become Jewish, but to become Ovdei Hashem. He was zeicha to a child, Yitzchak, at the age of 100. Even Yishmael, the so-called bad son, did tshuva in Avraham Avinu's lifetime. And Esav HaRasha didn't become a Rasha till Avraham Avinu left the world. So Avraham Avinu saw all of these brachos that were Mekoyim. Avraham is shayach to Shachris, because that's Hakaras HaTov, for the Chastei Hashem. Yitzchak Avinu, although he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he never left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu was the beginning of the Golus. The 400 years of Golus begins with the birth of Yitzchak. Yitzchak feels like a stranger. He is harassed. His wells are filled. There are ramazim of the Chorban in Yitzchak's life. That's why two wells were filled by the Philistines. The Ramban writes that's connected to Mikdash Rishon and the Mikdash Sheni. So Yitzchak is connected to Mincha, because Mincha, if you envision it, we daven Mincha Gedayla, but if you daven Mincha Ketana, and this seems to be going with this Mahalach, is the lengthening shadows of the day. It's still daytime, but it's getting dark, and there's a fear and a pachat that the light will go away and it'll be plunged into darkness. This was the prayer of Yitzchak. So if Shachris is Hakaras HaTayv, Mincha is the prayer of desperation, in which you're asking Hashem, please Hashem, let me hold on to your brachos, don't take them away. Both of them are chiyuvim. A yid, every person has to be makir tayv, and every person turns to Hashem, b'yeis sara. That's b'teva. There are no atheists in foxholes, right? When the bombs are bursting around you, you turn to Hashem. But Yaakov Avinu's prayers of a different magnitude. Yaakov Avinu is running away. Yaakov is not a young man anymore. He's 63 years old. No wife, no property. He's leaving his parents. He will never see his mother again. He thinks he will not see his father again, although Lamaisa, he does. He is going from the holiness of Eretz Yisrael and the holiness of the house of the Avos to the Tumah of Lavan. His physical life is threatened from Esav. His spiritual nitzchias is threatened from Lavan. Yaakov isn't in a matzav where he's grateful for all of the chasadim that he has, nor does he even have anything that he's holding on to. Yaakov has hit bottom. Yaakov is totally dark. Yaakov is the person who has nothing at all. But what is Ma'ariv? Ma'ariv is the gift of Emunah. Emunah is what you have when everything else is taken away from you. When you don't have any hope, you don't have any chance, there's no place to go, there is nothing that'll work, that B'derech HaTeva works for you. There's no strategy, there's no cheshbon, there's no calculation, there's no game plan. And you throw yourself on Hashem. Ma'ariv is Emunah. That is why in Ma'ariv, the Birchas Kriya Shema is Emes V'Emunah. In the morning, it's Emes V'Yatziv. The truth of Hashem is clear and upstanding. Because when I see Hashem's mercy, so that's obvious. But Ma'ariv is the gift of Emunah. And again, many Svarim say, L'hagid b'boker chastecha. In the mornings of life, I see Chesed Hashem. V'Emunascha b'leilais. In the darkness of life, when there's nothing I have Emunah, which is the greatest thing of all. So in the ominous nevuah of Shaka Chama Shalai B'Yainasei, the sun sets prematurely, and Yaakov gets the intimation of Chorban and suffering, and it's even earlier than it has to be. Number one, we see the rachamim of Hashem even in the Yisurin, that it was 2 years early, so it shouldn't be even a shantem. And we see that this was the emtsa'i to be kaina, the madrega of Emunah. Emunah, to see Emunah in Hashem even in the leilos, even in the dark moments of life. Even when the masaf looks hopeless, even when there's no game plan, there's no rationality, there's no particular hachana that a person can do to extricate himself from the matzah. And in many, many ways, the kinyan of Emunah is the deepest, most beautiful possession a person can have. To know that no matter what their situation, they are Maimon Bashem, who will support them, give them strength, give them courage, give them resilience, give them the kayach to go on. As the Chazon Ish says, We don't take the simplistic idea of Gamzu L'Taiva that everything will have a happy ending in the direct sense. We know that some stories don't end happily. People die. Sometimes sick people don't get better, although Baruch Hashem, many times the Chasdei Hashem are apparent. But Emunah is not conditioned. As somebody said, like an ATM card that you just put in and get whatever money you want. Emunah is a deeper process. It's the process of understanding that what happens in our lives is because it's the Ratzon Hashem, and ultimately it is to make us better, to make us stronger, to bring out kochos in us that we otherwise wouldn't have. And sometimes those kochos come out only through adversity and only through difficulty. But to be a maimon says, I believe my life has purpose. I believe what happens to me has a reason. I believe it's to make me a different type of person, a better type of person. And this is too how HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers tefillas not always by giving us exactly what we want, but he answers tefillas by giving us the koach to grow from whatever he has decided is better for us. So this is the first example I wanted to share with you. The example of Yaakov Avinu encountering the darkness as he's running away from Eretz Yisrael. Now I want to give you a second example of Yaakov Avinu. And this is the return trip. Over 30 years later, Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. He's leaving Lavan's house. 11 of the 12 Shvatim have been born. He's coming. And he hears that Esav, after all these years, still wants to kill him. And Yaakov is very, very frightened. It's interesting. Rashi says Yaakov is frightened that Esav may kill him. Yaakov is frightened he may have to kill Esav, because a Yid gets no joy in killing even when it's necessary. And Yaakov is afraid of that as well, because that could create a kilkel in a person's midos. And the night before he meets Esav in the flesh, the Gashmiyistika Esav, he wrestles with a mysterious man. And the Torah does not say who this man is, but Chazal identify him as none other than the guardian angel of Esav, the Soresh of Esav. So Yaakov has to grapple with the spiritual power of Esav before he can meet the physical representation of Esav. And they wrestle all night. And Yaakov finally is victorious, but in the morning, the angel leaves and gives Yaakov a blessing that your name shall be. Actually, the angel doesn't change his name, but the angel gives him a prophecy that Hashem will change his name instead of Yaakov, which is the heel, Yisrael, he who has ascended with Hashem, who has triumphed, who has achieved victory. And the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, again, many Mefarshim say it, Sefer HaChinuch talks about this. He says that this too is a basura. You know, the Zohar says this encounter happened on Tisha B'Av. Yaakov struggling with the angel is Tisha B'Av. The Zohar says that. And the Sefer HaChinuch, who doesn't quote the Zohar, says that this long, dark struggle is indeed a remez to Golus, that the Jewish people will have a Golus, they will have a Chorban, they will have darkness, and the enemies will sometimes seem to be miskaber over us. But Hashem's promise is, at the end of that long, difficult night, there will become a dawn. There will be a redemption. There will be a light after this darkness. And even the enemies that try to destroy us, like the Soresh of Esav, shall give the Jewish people a blessing and acknowledge. When we emerge from that galus, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, we're not going to emerge totally without injury. We'll be limping. Golus took its cost. It took its cost physically. It took its cost spiritually. We'll be limping, but we'll be alive. And we'll be there to see that light. And therefore, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us, the whole Mara was both the Mara of Golus and the Mara of Geula. But let's take this one step further. Not only is this a beautiful, reassuring vision that in all of our struggles there will eventually be a day, but nichlal in the vision is the key of how we get out of the darkness. At least b'derech drush. If you remember, Yaakov Avinu asks the angel, tell me your name. Hagidu li mashemecha. Tell me your name. And the angel says, Lama zeh tishal lishmi. Why are you asking me my name? Rashi explains that an angel says, I don't have a definite name. My name depends on my mission. I have different jobs. Every time I have a different job, I have a different name. Don't ask my name. But Rav Shvadran, Zatzal brings in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Leib Chassman, a very, very interesting pshat, that the angel is actually answering Yaakov's question. Yaakov asks the angel the question, what is your name? The angel says, my name is, don't ask my name. That's a name. Lama zeh tishal lishmi is a name. What type of name is that? He gives a mashal. A mashal to a Polish peasant, not very educated, who was going to the big city for the first time. And he was told, he never heard about a movie, he was told if he buys a ticket and goes into a room, he will be able to see people and animals coming out of a wall, even though it was a solid wall. He didn't understand it. Are people going to be able to go through a wall? So he buys a ticket. He sits in a room. It's totally dark. And all of a sudden, because the film starts, all of a sudden he sees people and animals coming out of the wall. He didn't understand. How is that shaykh? There was no door there. So he pulls out his big flashlight and he shines it on the wall to get a better view of what's going on. But what happens is, of course, when you shine a bright light on a surface that's showing a movie, you can't see the picture. It disappeared. So people yelled at him. They said, shut off your light. We only see the picture when the lights are off. Rav Leib Chassman says, this is a mashal for Eilam Hazeh. When we sit in darkness, we don't think about what life is about, then all sorts of things that aren't real seem to be real. The picture is not real, the picture is fake. And yet, when you're in dark, it looks like it's real. So, a person doesn't think, you don't turn on the lights, you go through life sleepwalking. So all sorts of things seem to be so important, the amount of money that I get, the materialism, whatever it is, our grievances, our grudges, our fights, our machloksim. We think it's so important, it's so major, it's so significant. Because we're in the dark. When you turn on the lights, two things happen. When you turn on the lights, the things that are not real disappear. And then you see the real things. I see the diamonds right next to me, right? I'm sitting in a dark theater. I might have, you know, $1 million next to me and I won't notice it. Darkness makes you see things that aren't real, and it prevents you from seeing things that are real. Turning on the lights is the opposite. You see what's there, and you don't see what's not there. When Yaakov asks the angel, what is your name? Yaakov understands that this angel is the force of Esav, the Yetzer Hara, the Kayach, which was later the Kayach of Amalek, the Nachash, all these different things. When Yaakov says, what is your name? Yaakov is asking, what is your power over people? Because a name is the sheirish of any entity's power. That's why the Arizal says, the name that someone gets at a bris represents the root of his neshama. It's like a nevuah the parents have. So Yaakov is saying, I don't get you. How do you entice people to do averos? Averos make no sense. Whatever you get out of it is so trivial compared to what you lose, the schar that you lose, the onish that you'll get. How could a sensible person ever be nichshal? What is your name? The angel's answer is, my power over people is because nobody bothers to ask my name. Don't ask my name. You don't think about it. You don't think about it? So things look real, which are not real. You don't see real. So what is based on this drush, l'chol hapachas? So on one hand, Yaakov's struggle with the angel is the vision of Golus followed by Geula. But he's also telling Yaakov that the darkness can be changed by our own actions, by turning on the lights. When you turn on the lights, there is no darkness. If the Kayach Hara is because nobody bothers to ask, Lama Zeh Tishal Lashmi, why should you bother asking? Don't ask questions. Trust me. Famous last words. So that means, in that Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you turn on those lights, think about life, realize what's important, then the darkness dissipates and the Kayach of Esav becomes neutralized. In that very Mara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, we have the key to our prison cell. Chazal say, indeed, Ein Chavush Matir Atzmi Mibeso Asurim. A prisoner cannot get himself out of his own jail cell. But that's only true if he doesn't have the key. If he has the key, he could. Indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yaakov the vision of Golus, but says, you have the key. The key is turning on the light switch. Think about life. Understand what is emes, and you will have your Yeshua. The third example I want to share with you is a much later time, and that is, on one end we have Tisha B'Av, and the Mishnah in Tainus talks about the tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. But then we have the 15th of Av. And again, Al Pidin, I'm allowed to talk about the 15th of Av on Tisha B'Av because it is in Medrash Eicha. And Chazal matred Medrash Eicha, even though, it's an interesting thing, Chazal matred certain categories of Talmud Torah and Tisha B'Av, even for Inyanim that on some level might give you some simcha. In terms of Besuras HaGa'ula, Medrash Eicha is mutra l'gamra. You're not mechuyev to skip different parts of Medrash Eicha. So I'm quoting from the Medrash Eicha, really. And the Medrash Eicha, which is the same thing as the Gemara in Tainus, tells us, Lo hayu yamim tayvim li Yisrael, that the happiest day for Klal Yisrael, the happiest days for Klal Yisrael, were Shiva, Yom Kippur and Chamisha Asar B'Av. Yom Kippur and the 15th of Av were the happiest days for Am Yisrael. So the Medrash, as well as the Gemara, asks the obvious question. We understand why Yom Kippur is such a wonderful day. Day of forgiveness, Mechila, Slicha, the day of the Luchos Shnios, the second tablets coming down, the forgiveness of the Chet HaEgel, Gevaldik. By the way, that's an important perspective. Yom Kippur is, the Gemara says, it's Pashut. That's the happiest day of the year. We don't always look at it that way. It's Pashut. That is the happiest day of the year. But the Gemara then asks, what's so great about the 15th of Av? So the Gemara and the Medrash, they both say the same thing. The Gemara and the Medrash tell us no fewer than six reasons why the 15th of Av is a very happy day. The first reason is that the 15th of Av, the last year they were in the desert, the last year, the 40th year they were in the Midbar, was the time when we knew that the Gezerah of the Meraglim was Batel. Now, how to learn this is a bit complicated. Essentially, the story is that it was Nigzar that the whole Dor HaMidbar would die in the desert, anyone that was 20 years old, and nobody died before the age of 60. So the way it worked, according to the Medrash, was every Erev Tisha B'Av, all of the Dor HaMidbar would dig their graves, and they would sleep in their, I don't know if they fell asleep actually, but they would go into their graves that night. And anybody who had reached 60 the preceding year would not get up. Right? And they did this for all the years in the Midbar, over and over and over again. Now, the question becomes, in the 40th year, they dug their graves, they went into their graves, and nobody died. Nobody died. They thought initially, perhaps we miscalculated when was the 9th of Av. So they did it the next night, 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 until they saw a full moon. And when they saw a full moon, they knew it was the 15th of Av. So they knew for sure that nobody else would die. Now, there are at least three opinions in the Rishayim how to understand this. Let me just go over very quickly. Rabbeinu Tam has a very radical view. Rabbeinu Tam actually says if you divide 600,000 by 40, you get approximately 15,000 and a fraction who would die every year. Rabbeinu Tam actually learns that 15,000 people who should have died the last year did not die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mevater on the last group of people. Now, the obvious question on Rabbeinu Tam, which we won't be marich in, is that the Torah seems to say beferish that the only two men who did not die of the Dor HaMidbar are Yoshua and Kalev. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Yoshua and Kalev plus another 15,000 people. Okay, that's Akasha. We'll leave it for now. So that's how Rabbeinu Tam learns. So the simcha was people who should have died didn't die. There is another pshat that actually says that really everybody who should have died died by year 39, but the Dor HaMidbar made a mistake because the gezeirah was anybody that was 20 at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But they thought anybody who was 20 at the time of the Meraglim, which is a year later, should die. So they thought an extra group of people will die, but they didn't. So it's still a simcha because they thought a group would die and they didn't. Okay. The Medrash is going with either of those two. In other words, there's a third explanation that even the last year people died and the 15th of Av was finishing Shiva. They finished Shiva for the last deaths. But the Medrash clearly learns that people dug their graves on the 9th of Av and nobody died that year. And they weren't sure that the Gezerah was Batel until the 15th of Av. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is that initially there was a halacha that if a woman inherited property from her father, she had to marry only a member of her tribe so that the property should not go mishevet l'shevet. But in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, that halacha was abrogated, that was temporary. And when Yidden were allowed to marry all the Shvatim, that became a time of simcha. The third simcha is Pilegesh Begiva. There was a civil war against Binyamin in the time of the Shoftim. Binyamin almost got decimated. People took an oath that their daughters could not marry anyone from Binyamin. That would have resulted in the annihilation, in the extinction of a Shevet. Once again, a Chazal said that that neder was annulled on the 15th of Av. The fourth simcha is that during the kingdom of the 10 tribes, Yeravam ben Nevat put up guards that would not allow people to go from the northern kingdom of Shomron to the Beis HaMikdash. The last king before the exile of the 10 tribes, Hoshea ben Ela, was mevatel those guards, giving everybody free access to the Beis HaMikdash, and that was on the 15th of Av. Gevaldige Simcha. The Gemara in Tainus asked the obvious kasha, if Hoshea ben Ela did such a wonderful thing, why was he destroyed? Why was there an exile at that time? And the Gemara says, a very frightening thought, that he let people go and nobody went. Meaning to say, he was not being a tzaddik. He was so confident that people had been brainwashed and conditioned, he says, I can throw open the gates and no one's going to care anyway. That's a tremendous kitrik. All the years that there were barriers, people might say, oh, I'd love to go to the Beis HaMikdash, I just can't, because there are armed guards. Here, when they could go, they didn't go. But nevertheless, the fact that they could have gone makes it a simcha. Two more, very quickly. Beitar was destroyed around 52 years after the Chorban. It was the last stand of Bar Kokhba. Hundreds of thousands, the Gemara gives you numbers of millions, Maral, other Mefarshim say it might be a guzma, but certainly hundreds of thousands were brutally murdered. And the Haruge Beitar were not even allowed to be buried for 3 years as a sign to break rebelliousness. And after Beitar was destroyed on the 9th of Av, 3 years and a week later, Haruge Beitar were given a burial and their bodies did not decompose. And in commemoration of that event, Chazal added a fourth bracha in Birchas HaMazon, HaTayv VaHametiv, that the bodies didn't decompose, and we were zeicha to Kavura, and that's the simcha of Chamisha Sarbiyav. And the final simcha, the Gemara says, was every year they had to cut wood for the Beis HaMikdash, for the needs of the Beis HaMikdash, and they completed the wood cutting on the 15th of Av, and at that point they gave Shevach V'Haidah that they had enough wood to carry them off for the whole year. These are six simchas of Chamisha Asar B'Av. Just to say something very, very quickly. If you look at Tisha B'Av, you will see there are five tsaros on Tisha B'Av. And what's amazing is, although five and six are not exactly symmetrical, but with a little bit of kvetching, you can actually see each tsara of Tisha B'Av had a refuah in Chamisha Asar B'Av. The first tsara of Tisha B'Av, there was a gezeira on our forefathers that they wouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael. First simcha of the 15th of Av on the 40th year, that gezeira was finished. That gezeira was spent. That was the nechama. The two about the shvatim, one is that a woman who inherits property could marry every shevet, and we'll include that with Pilegesh Begiva. That's the idea of shvatim intermarrying. That's keneged the Chorban Bayasheni. The Chorban Bayasheni came because of sinas chinam, polarization, hatred, division. On the 15th of Av, we have two eifanim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created achdus and unity. Hutru shvatim zelazeh, hutru shevet binyamin. So Chamisha Asar B'Av rectifies the sinas chinam. The shomrim, right, when Hoshea ben Ela let people go to the mikdash, they didn't have to worship the idols. That was a tikkun in some ways of Avodah Zarah. The first mikdash, the main avera, was Avodah Zarah. On Chamisha Asar B'Av, there was an undoing of the Avodah Zarah, although it was earlier in time. But it represents a spiritual tikkun of Avodah Zarah. Beitar was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. But 3 years and a week later, Haruge Beitar were nitnu l'kvura. And the final tragedy of Tisha B'Av is Nechresh Yahair. Yerushalayim was plowed with sulfur and salt to destroy its fertility. But every year on the 15th of Av, the Eivishter gave us the bracha that we could get the Eitzim that we needed, that Eretz Yisrael still produced. In fact, the Yerushalmi says that the soil of Eretz Yisrael must be mighty powerful, that in spite of all that was done to it, the Eivishter gives it the koach to be Eisa Peres. Now, Chamisha Asar B'Av is the seventh day from Tisha B'Av. It literally is getting up from Shiva. Just as when a person gets up from Shiva, a person mourns, but then a person goes on and understands the Chama. So too, every tragedy of Tisha B'Av has a Nechama on the seventh day that kind of undoes that tragedy. But again, like Eli Tzion V'Yareha, we have to get up. We have to produce. Our lives have to be creative, productive. We have to strive to serve Hashem. A person cannot live in the past, in the sense, because if I live in the past and then say, there's no Avoda for me anymore, then you've destroyed yourself. We have to get up. Whatever kochos we have, it's so much less, indeed, than the earlier dairis. Niskatnu hadairis, every single day. But to use niskatnu hadairis as an excuse for passivity, for a sense of futility, for a hopelessness, for thinking, there's nothing I can do in the world that has any significance. That's compounding the Chorban over and over again. And Chamisha Asar B'Av reminds us that for every Chorban, there's also a Yeshua. And therefore, remember the Chorban, but get up and rebuild. Do what you can. And B'ezras Hashem, we should be Zaycha, as the Chassam Sofer taught us, that if we are misabel over Yerushalayim, Zaycha v'raya, may we truly experience the Geula, not just as something that's in the future. May we feel the hergish of Geula, mamish, during the time that we're misabel as well.